Welcome to Manager Tools. After you get your goals, part two. This cast answers these questions. What do I do when I get my goals from my boss? What do I do if my boss doesn't give me clear goals? Well, if we want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you're a small business and don't have 20 to 30 managers to be trained, you may want to consider licensing our content with the annual enterprise seat licenses for $250 per user. All users receive the Manager Tools annual license benefits, that is, access to all of our show notes, our online interview creation tool, and, most importantly, access to Roadmap. The Roadmap program allows self-teaching of the management trinity and its four managerial models of one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The organization also receives measurement through Roadmap and its data on the adoption and how folks are doing with proceeding down the Trinity rollout, an inexpensive cost model for small businesses where your managers receive the information and you have access to the behavioral change. For more details, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or check it out on our website, manager-tools.com/organizations.
Last week, Mark, we talked about, what do you do after you get your goals? Assuming you have them, or if you don't have them, we talked about what to do about that. First thing you do is notify your team. Then our next step is create first draft of your goals with your team.
Right.
At this point, you're in a meeting, right? We talked about setting this meeting up last week, and now you're in that meeting.
Yeah. Now go back just a little bit, because we started out saying, hey, you ought to know how to go ask your boss for your goals. And we admitted that it's entirely possible your boss won't give you goals. But in other words, one of the preparatory steps for going to your boss is having a recommendation or having some idea. You don't just go and plop down in your boss's chair and say, what do you want me to do, and not have anything, because that will increase the embarrassment of your boss in the event that he or she doesn't have anything.
Well, and it makes you look stupid too, because it's your organization. You ought to have some idea of the objectives of your organization, right?
Yeah, but you have thoughts. You have a brain. You know how things work. You know what you're trying to do and so on, even though a lot of managers don't think that way because nobody ever told them what to do. And so they wonder what's the right thing to do.
Unless you just consider yourself a pair of hands. And if you do, then probably management is not the right place to be.
Exactly. So you probably already have something started. And then maybe your boss gives you something. So my point is, when it says create first draft goals with your team, it's not that these really are necessarily your first draft. You probably took something like a first draft or a rough estimate into your meeting with your boss. And remember, you're going to work on your goals between the time you meet with your boss and the time you meet with your directs. So you may have what you think of as 80% of it. But the point of this is collaborative. And, I'm always surprised when people say to me, well, you guys are old fashioned because you recommend the boss have this authority. And, in the modern world, they don't have this authority. I'm like, yeah, they do. I'm sorry, they do. And I think those are just from people who think that the definition of micromanagement is any management at all. But we want to do this collaboratively. I think of coaching as being collaborative. I think of one-on-ones as being pretty darn collaborative too. I think when you ask somebody to take over one of your responsibilities, rather than telling them, that's a form of collaboration as well. Leave it to two West Point graduate Army officers to recommend that of the three types of power, role power, expertise power, and relationship power, the least important of those is role power. And we've built manager tools around principles and data we have that make it all about relationship power. So when we say create first draft goals with your team, we don't mean that you don't have any work walking into this meeting and you don't have any first draft goals. I'm suggesting that the work you've done before, you might think of them as draft goals, but they really aren't goals for your team until you collaborate with your team on them. And I wouldn't have any problem saying that to him. Say, look, I've been working on this stuff, but it doesn't do any good for me to just deliver them from on high if you guys aren't involved. So now, we're not voting, but I want your input. And there's some stuff I probably have wrong. Okay. So, you know, we sent the email, says, you know, take some time, think about this, bring your work that I asked you to do, and we're in our meeting. You start by briefing them on what you've done before your meeting with your boss, since your meeting with your boss, trying to tighten up the goals or the efforts or the initiatives, whatever. We're going to turn them into goals, but the form of what you have may not be that precise. And frankly, that's okay. Now, the rougher your raw material is, maybe you're going to have an extra meeting. We'll talk more about that in a minute. You shouldn't assume that magically this is going to happen in one meeting, but I've seen it done. And, you know, the higher you get up in the organization, the more complex your organization is, the longer it may take. But generally speaking, the higher up in the organization you are, the people who work for you are smarter about these kinds of processes and should be able to respond pretty quickly. And I can't imagine a director or a senior director or a VP not figuring out that if his boss wants to sit down with him or her regarding their goals and what their part of the team's goals are going to be, I can't imagine that wouldn't immediately become their top priority.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to brief everybody on what I've done to tighten up my goals if I'm the boss. And then we're going to have everyone else brief on what they sent. And yeah, everybody should have read the emails that everybody sent out, that you asked everyone to send out before the meeting with their rough drafts and so on. They should have, but you can't assume that they have. Okay. Now, after each person briefs, we recommend, this is how I've done it, I don't know, 100 times facilitated meetings like this, ask for comments after each person briefs. Okay. When I first started doing this, I said, let's let everybody talk first. The problem is if you have 6 or 7 people to brief, the first couple of people, the comments are not going to be mentioned. People aren't going to be thinking critically about all of them the same way. And if you have 5 or 6 briefings and there's no discussion or interjection, all of those briefings kind of run together in people's minds. This is my estimation of what I saw when I was facilitating these meetings, to the point where what ends up happening is you have one massive briefing with too much detail. And in the end, there are 1 or 2 things, a significant idea, a surprising thought, a really bad idea from somebody. And the entirety of all of your briefings, when you ask for open discussion, what are we going to do? Which ones are we going to use? And so on. The entirety of it becomes a discussion of the 2 or 3 most interesting points, not the 30 or 40 goals that everyone put out altogether. So you make each briefing its own briefing. And look, there's going to be some uncertainty and tension. You know, some people who don't know better are going to sandbag you. They're going to make their goals so trivially easy that they know they can achieve them at the end of the year. Leaving, of course, depending upon how your organization is structured, leaving, of course, the chance that somebody else is going to have to pick up the slack or that they're saying, you know, my people are terrible. They can't do as much work as her people. And those same people who have sandbagged goals are not going to be pushing people, not going to be asking questions, they're going to be attempting to fly below the radar. They don't want to be a tall poppy. And, you know, now look, goals are different everywhere, and we'd like to be a lot more specific about this. But I'll tell you one other thing. Generally speaking, in some cases, it's harder, and laptops need to be involved. Mike and I have often talked about having an office with nothing but whiteboards for walls, and in addition, a couple of rooms that had massive walls that were essentially screens that were big enough that everyone can read them, as opposed to, you know, a 3x5 or a 4x6 screen. One that I'm talking about, a screen that's 20 feet wide and 10 feet tall. And you would, barring that in your organization, you want everyone to not only present their goals, and they should have handouts for everybody. But in addition, you're going to want them to put them up somewhere legibly so people can see them. And I forgot about that when I was talking through our guidance last week. So make sure people know they're going to come, they're going to brief, they're going to bring copies of their deck, and they're going to end up with something on the whiteboard. There are rooms that are nothing but whiteboards in places I've been, and that would be fine. Flip chart paper works great. We happen to like sticky flip chart paper with grid lines on it, but you don't need to use that. And that way, since many people don't follow the generally accepted professionalism principle of one takes notes, you will end up with a visual record of what everyone did, and that will help remind everybody about the kinds of goals and comments that people made.
This just seems terribly inefficient, though. I mean, couldn't I just, I know you love when I do this to you, couldn't I just meet with all my folks individually? I got to make everybody sit through everybody's briefing. Couldn't I just meet with them individually? And I'm the boss. I know what's going on. I should be able to do that.
That's a great point. You're right. That method would be a lot more efficient. You would end up optimizing each of your teams, or because in the principle with based on the axiom of sub-optimization, you can either optimize the entire organization or you can optimize its component parts. You can't optimize everything. If you optimize your goals, then other people's goals will be sub-optimized. If you optimize theirs, then the output of everyone will be lessened than if you sub-optimize them. That's the
principle. But it's
the
easier.
Yeah, it's absolutely easier. I would argue you're forgetting something, though. When you go into each of your discussions with your people, you will be, I'm probably going to be unfair here and say, you're going to be arguing with each of them, not all of them. And that means you're going to have this discussion. Let's say you have six directs. You're going to have this discussion six times, not once. And if you have to iterate again, now you're going to have it 12 times.
Yeah.
In addition, it's more efficient for you. But then how are you going to be sure that you can get consensus that everybody understands the goals? And then finally, when you have weekly staff meetings, and like it or not, it doesn't matter how different your people's work are. If they report to the same person, it's good for them to know what each other is doing relative to succession planning, if nothing else, and continuity, business continuity for when you're on vacation or whatever. But even if what your people do is very, very different, when you come to a staff meeting every week and you've individually agreed to everybody's goals, I'm not saying there aren't situations where some people's sales targets might be individually tweaked. That could happen. But now suddenly everyone else is not invested in everyone else's goals. It's literally every man for himself.
The number of times I have seen objectives that hadn't gone through this process where John has an objective that is diametrically opposed to Sarah's, right? It's like, oh my God. And both of them over the course of the year fight like cats and dogs because they can't both get their objectives done, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it happens way more often than we'd like to believe.
Oh yeah. In fact, I tell people this all the time. You need to have metrics, and some of those metrics need to be intention. The same thing is true with goals. Progress toward goals is what we're measuring with our metrics. But yeah, they're supposed to be intention because it's generally the organization you're in is more complex than most people realize. But look, if they're completely opposed to one another, that's inefficient, right? In a different way. And if I meet with them together and we all know that their intention, we're going to work that out. We're going to modify one or both of the goals, or we're going to talk about, I wouldn't have any problem talking about the behavior, saying, look, you know, these two goals are so closely opposite of one another that it would be easy for you guys to have a running gun battle for the next year about this. I'm not going to tolerate that. You're going to have to work together. There are going to be some months when one of you is up and the other one's down. And I think by doing it this way, we'll be much more creative about figuring out a way to make it happen differently and better next time. Yeah. And everybody hears that. And there is power in the group experience as opposed to a bunch of individual experiences.
Yeah. I only answer the question because I know a lot of people who tend to think like me would be, oh my God, this seems like this is going to be messy. This is not going to be clean and clear. Yeah. And there'll be arguments and discussion and uncomfortable people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Exactly.
That's why we often say that if you're not a high D before you're a boss, particularly if you're only a high C, if you get promoted a couple of times, you're going to become much more of a high D. If you're not naturally willing to engage in some of the behaviors that managers are required to do, because managing includes a whole bunch about people, right? If you're not naturally inclined that way, then this is going to be uncomfortable. But I say it all the time. We don't get paid to be comfortable. We get paid to be effective. We get paid to deliver our results to help our organization serve society. Society isn't us. The organization isn't built for you, or it isn't built for any other single person. By definition, you're supposed to be put in uncomfortable situations where you have to stretch or do something different. Gosh, imagine if everybody's job was, and I would argue that there are strains of that right now, but the corporate response will come at some point. But right now it seems that everybody says, hey, look, here are our goals. But as long as nobody's offended or upset or uncomfortable or triggered or anything, you know, if that's the case, then well, we certainly need to do something about that. There'll be a news story soon enough about a boss who got fired while protecting his directs who were uncomfortable with the goals of the organization, but didn't want to quit. That'll happen in the next couple of years.
Sadly.
We've had hundreds of emails saying how much you've all been enjoying getting things I think every day. You know, one day it's going to come to an end. You can carry on getting things by purchasing a license. Mark writes things for licensees, so why not become one of the people he writes for? Go to the website, click products in the menu, and look for personal license in the dropdown.
So, once everybody has briefed, it's time to look at what your goals were. And, you know, you may get lucky. You may get a whole shot. Everybody's may fit. Maybe you talk about goals a lot. Maybe it's very clear. There's a narrow alignment. And it's not terribly complex. That'd be great. And now that everyone has seen your goals, obviously, and you would have sent them out before. Yours is the one that will get read, of course. And now they've seen drafts of the goals that will hang underneath your goals for the team, right? Our purpose now is, okay, let's go back through and shave these off. Now, there may be a whole bunch of goals. If you have six directs, let's say they each have five goals. I'm making that up. There's 30 of them. 10 of them may be stuff that's not closely enough related to your team goals, but they want to achieve those goals. That's fine. You can let them do that as long as you're clear. So in other words, there are going to be some goals that aren't in a tight little package with your goals. That's okay. Don't overreact to that. Don't make everybody else's goals only in your goals image. People have to have some freedom. Okay. That said, you're going to have to say to them, you wouldn't want to finish the year and not have achieved goals A, B, and C, but say to me, hey, look, I got D and E, because you do have some latitude, but that latitude has parameters. And the parameters are, you don't get to spend time on a fourth or fifth priority when your first, second, or third priority. And I'm telling you now, these goals over here are your first, second, and third priority. Don't not meet those in service of the fourth or fifth. Now, look, also, as you talk about your goals, be willing to accept input from your team. Don't be afraid to make one or two things that they might want to tinker with non-negotiable. And don't be afraid to eliminate something that you thought might be a good idea and everybody says, no, boss, not this year. We want to be collaborative, but it's not a democracy. And it's possible that you've got a couple of things that you thought were good ideas. They just say, hey, boss, we love these other ones. We can do those. But these two things, we don't think we can do them. And then maybe what you're being told is not, we will not, but you need to convince us more. And so maybe you take them off the table, but in a quarter, when in 90 days, when you're reviewing things again, you could say, hey, I want to make another pitch at this. I want to describe it differently. Now, could you at the end of the year say, enough, guys, I really believe this is the way forward. And so they're in there and I'll just manage them really carefully and I'll listen to you guys. But basically, I want to do this. That's fine. But if in your first goal meeting, you have five goals and you have good relationships with your team, and then they say no to one of them and you say, oh no, we're doing it. I got to tell you, the moment after that, they're just going to sit there and have you tell them what each of their goals are going to be. And I realize we're talking about, you have to know your people. You have to know them well enough to know what they can handle and what they can't. And I'm not saying that's easy. No. But you'll do worse if you don't follow this framework at all.
In this meeting, do you have to get your goals to 100%?
No. No, you know, you'd have to be a pretty good facilitator to get your goals to 100% with this. The first time, particularly. But you can shoot for 90%. You can end the meeting that way and just say, hey, look, guys, gals, we're pretty close. I could probably massage these into something virtually there. But before I do that, I want you all to go back and relook what you brought, what comments were made, where we are now, and how our overall numbers have changed, and massage yours one more time into a final, final draft. And then you can tell them, hey, we'll convene in a week. I'll be happy to meet with you privately. Now, let me go back because I didn't say something I probably should have said. I know people are being left hanging. They're always saying to me, I love when you tell me exactly what to do. So everybody's briefed. Okay, now you're going to discuss it. So probably what you're going to do is you're going to go back to each person's presentation and say, okay, what part of this requires support from others and how do we feel about each of these goals? And if it were me and I were facilitating, if I were the boss, I would be pretty direct with people who just sat there, slouched down with their shoulder blades below the top of the chair they were in, fiddling with a pencil. Surely everyone knows by now that there would be nobody on a laptop or a phone during this meeting. If it's my meeting, you wouldn't, because we have ground rules. But we're going to go over point by point each one of those people's. And there are things that are going to be struck off. And there are things that Miriam is going to say, like, you know, Robert has X goal. I like that. That's better than my Y goal over here. So I want to borrow Robert's. Okay. Or Robert's going to say about Miriam, you know, one of the things she's got is something that's going to take a bunch of my people, unless I misunderstand. And we have to figure out how we're going to handle that. Those are the kind of conversations you want to have. And you'll end up with what amounts to red ink all over those flip charts. Okay. And then again, people will take their flip charts back. Remember, your goals are in flip charts too. And then you'll all modify them and give them about a week. Look, it's also possible that the meeting is a disaster. This is the first time you've done it. You don't know what to do. You wish we were more specific here. I think we're being pretty specific, but anyway, don't be afraid to do it again. Say, look, okay, that didn't turn out well. Everybody go back. You learn some things about how each other works, the goals that everybody has. Maybe you like somebody else's goals. By the way, if you did, you should tell them. Take another crack at your goals, everybody. And I'll take another crack at all of mine. In fact, there are a couple of your guys' goals that I realized I left some stuff out. And because I thought I had a pretty full plate, I might have to put your stuff in, but that means take some other stuff out. And then ask them to try to close the gaps between what they're saying they do and what you're saying you need. Now, you made the point about efficiency, and the point I'll make is working with your team this way, guys, before the final product, making sausage, making legislation, messy, difficult, and so on, is designed to help them understand what you're trying to do. And in the process of communicating about this, yes, the communication is about potentially disagreement, dissension, achieving consensus. Not that we're big fans of consensus here. The point is, you have a goal in mind of them doing it, but now everybody's talking about the goals, so nobody's not going to be familiar with them, okay? It is messy, but taking another week or a few days that might seem to be slowing you down, heck, if you have calendar year goals, start this in early November. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a series of meetings, okay? Spending this time collaborating and listening to people and having them be heard and having mini brains look at everybody's goals is far more valuable than you going into your office. The benefit to your team and to the effort they'll have and the clarity they'll have and the understanding they'll have about implementing these goals when they actually are live is far more valuable than the time you'll save if you go into your office and tie everything up yourself. You're just going to lose a lot of the value of the collaboration. You're going to end up spending more time persuading them of what you've come up with. Or if you just give out the goals like an edict and there's no discussion or whatever, you'll end up trying to persuade them while you're hoping they're working toward the goals. Whatever you might have saved in efficiency will be lost in effectiveness.
Yeah, agreed. It's worth doing the hard work up front because you're going to have to live with the results of this for the next year at least, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We got a little bit more to go, and we'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, having a great one.